What's going on, Kirk?
Oh, nothing. It's that time of year again.
What time of year is that? Football time?
No, it's the day after Halloween.
It is the day after Halloween. It is that time of year again. And this is our trick or treat episode. Are you ready to talk some fancy football?
Yes, I am.
Oh, perfect. So we're actually recording this Thursday night, and just to give an update on Thursday night football. Just as we predicted during our last show, Nick Mullins is thriving. He has a 100, his rating is 152, so that's pretty good for his debut.
I was it I that predicted it or you did?
I think it was a consensus pick.
Yeah. We said bye 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 on Nick Mullins.
Yeah. Yeah. They said he was the first ever 49ers quarterback to throw multiple touchdowns in his first start. So that's pretty good company to be in all by himself.
Right. He's better than Joe Montana.
Not even Elvis Gerback could do that.
Yeah, no.
So, well, great. Yeah, the hiring of John Gruden looks like a great choice.
He's really turned that team around. He's turned it from young to old in a heartbeat.
Young to old, and from 12 wins 2 years ago, and looks like they're probably only going to have one throughout the year. And I would say they're probably getting rid of Derek Carr because, every time John Gruden says somebody's safe on that roster, they're gone pretty soon afterwards. So,
and hopefully they get a first round pick for him.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, let's get right into it. So trick or treat episode. We're halfway through the NFL season, more than halfway through the fantasy regular season. We're coming up on the trade deadline for a lot of leagues. So people want to know what the deal is with some of these players. So we call this the trick or treat episode. We're going to talk about some players that, have had some up and down weeks, and we're not sure what to expect rest of the season, or you all may not be sure what to expect rest of the season. So we're going to try and help you out with that. All right, Kirk. So why don't you go ahead and talk about your first player there?
My first player. It's near and dear to our hearts because we thought we hit a home run, and we are still kind of wondering if he's going to come through, and that is Russell Wilson. The quarterback position for the Seattle Seahawks. He is in our keeper league. He is the 16th best quarterback in the league.
Right.
And that's not very good. He was going in the top five for fantasy quarterbacks and every other statistical ranking. So
right.
His best game came this past week against the best team in football. So that was kind of odd and unpredictable, which makes me think, you know, does that mean he's still got – this team has enough strategery to manufacture wins and statistics? He has yet to top 300 yards. His closest was the first game of the year. He does have a pretty good touchdown to interception ratio. And I don't remember him running for any amount of yards worth noting all this year.
Right. So
that's kind of a shocking revelation because that was also how he would build up his points. So what do you think? You think this is a guy you want to stick your hand in a cookie jar and get a treat? Or is it you're going to grab a poopy diaper?
So, yeah, I mean – he is actually playing very well. He's playing good football. The team is winning. He's been hyper efficient. And really, he had one game, I think, in week four where he had no touchdown passes. Other than that, the other six games, he's had two games of two touchdown passes and four three-touchdown pass games, which sounds fantastic for fantasy reasons. The issue with him is, like you said, he hasn't had a game over 300 yards, and he's not running the ball. He's averaging, I think, 11 yards rushing a game, which is not what you expect from Russell Wilson. And the whole reason why is because that the Seattle Seahawks are running the ball so well. I think they're averaging more rushing attempts than any other team right now. you know, last year, remember when they had Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls and nobody could get going. I think Chris Carson had one good game last year. Well, he's got multiple 100-yard games, and even Mike Davis had a 100-yard game. Their first-round running back hasn't been able to find the field. And I think that's with their new offensive coordinator, Schottenheimer, there. That's their identity, and I think that's what they – I mean, their defense is playing great again, so I think that's the way they're going to choose to move forward.
Do you think it makes a difference that the receivers they have are more easily covered without having any real threats, that they can focus on containing him behind the line of scrimmage?
Well, I think he's not running because he doesn't have to. I mean, he's not dropping back as often. I think he's had a lot of success in like the play action game, and that's where they'll do play action and Tyler Lockett will go for a 50-yard touchdown, and that's how they've been able to have success. But I just, you know, it's not him dropping to a 5 or 7 step drop and then nobody being open and him having to run the ball or that being their rush game. So unfortunately for us, I don't really see this changing very much.
Right.
I think he's got some tough matchups coming up too. He's got the Chargers should be a good matchup, but then, you know, Rams, he's still got Carolina left, Minnesota. So it's going to be tough sledding. Fortunately though, for us, I will say this, his playoff schedule looks like this: Minnesota, which is tough. And then he's got at San Francisco, and championship game would be Kansas City. Those last two games are very good matchups for him. But overall, I've got to say he is a trick. I have him in the Dynasty League, which I felt great about this year. And I traded to get Drew Brees because I don't feel great about Russell Wilson. What do you think?
I think he's a trick too. I think if you have an opportunity to trade him for any value at all, I would say it's probably it. His reputation's probably still good enough, and you can always sell him. He's got 6 passing touchdowns to 4 interceptions, so maybe they'll get.
Yeah. I didn't trade. I still kept a hold of him. I just traded for Drew Brees, because I'm just hoping the dynasty value of him, I can keep him for a while. But yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the thing though about us in the auction league is that we got him for $5.
Right.
So we didn't spend, you know, the second or third highest amount for a quarterback. Like we didn't pay his actual value. So
right.
I still feel like we got a good deal there.
Oh yeah, we didn't lose out on him. We stole him.
Yep. So all right, so I'll go with my first player here. Mine is one who I have him in our auction keeper league. I was hemming and hawing debating whether to keep him, and I did, and that was Tariq Cohen. Any idea where you think he is ranked right now in PPR format for running backs and points per game?
Top 15.
He is. He is right now the number 13 running back in points per game. So just outside of being a running back number one. He got off to a slow start, 3 straight single-digit games. His last 4 games, though, he's at 32, 23, 22, and 18 points in PPR leagues. It's been a little sporadic with his touch count. Last game, he only had 6 total touches, which is very concerning. But his last game, he broke a 70-yard touchdown on a reception. The other thing that worries me about him is he's not game script proof. So again, like, I think Chicago's playing Buffalo this week. I don't feel great about him. Like, I think that's more of a Jordan Howard game.
Right.
And Jordan Howard is very talented and can take away. But you know, when a running back has, you know, 20 or more points in 4 straight games, I think that says something. So
have his highest point total against Buffalo. So while that doesn't match up with what you're saying, but that's, you know, that Yahoo Sports seems to think he's going to have his best game of the year.
Yeah, well, I mean, that I again, I do not, but I think, you know, that's just a one game assessment there. So, what do you think about him overall? How are you? What do you think about him rest of the season?
I would like to think his value is not going to be affected by Jordan Howard's that much because Jordan Howard just carries the ball when they don't seem to care about running the ball. They say, all right, we just need to get rid of these carries for a little bit, and then we'll start doing some offensive production. So I think Tariq Cohen is the weapon on that team that makes the engine go. So I think this is a treat.
Yeah, Allen Robinson is banged up. Taylor Gabriel banged up. They've got no other receivers to speak of. Anthony Miller is a good rookie receiver. Right. Trey Burton hasn't been great, but I also have him as a treat. I was offered a pretty good trade for him today, and I couldn't do it, couldn't pull the trigger. So, Tariq Cohen, I have as a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Locked and loaded starter until he starts putting bad games, consecutive games on the docket there. Other than that, you got to start.
Especially when you're weak at running back.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Who do you got?
My next guy, this one was one where I was looking for someone to stand out that I was not expecting. And Robert Woods. I have Robert Woods, who is apparently the wide receiver to have for the Los Angeles Rams. partly because of Cooper Kupp's injury, but other than the first game, this guy is a double digit scorer. He has 3 20+, 1 30+ weeks. He is consistently targeted. He had a low game where he was targeted only 5 times, but he caught every ball and then had over 100 yards and a touchdown. So he seems to be very much part of their game plan. It seems like he looks more like Brandon Cooks is what I thought Brandon Cooks would be like. It's just normal, but he seems to be doing a little bit better. He is the 13th best wide receiver. Is this something that's going to continue, or is this something that where you still want to have Cooper Kupp as your guy going forward, or Brandon Cooks?
I like Kupp and Woods better than Cooks. I think Cooks, Cooks has been more consistent in LA than he was at his other stops. You know, there he was kind of up and down, would have a great game and then kind of disappear. He's actually been pretty decently consistent, but not as consistent as Kupp or Woods. And with Robert Woods, the thing is, you have 2 years in a row now of seeing him do this. I mean, he was an absolute stud for a couple games last year. So, and if you actually watch the Rams play, it seems like when he catches the ball, there is nobody within 10 yards of him. And I think that's scheme. That is them worrying about Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks. I think Cooks really helps out Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods a lot. And I don't see any reason. I mean, he was putting up these numbers when, Cooper Kupp was still on the field. So it's not like Cooper Kupp gets injured and now Cook or Woods is doing great. I see no reason to believe why he's not going to be a wide receiver two at least the rest of the year. The only thing with him is you'd like to see more touchdowns. Gurley just soaks up so many touchdowns, but
which is odd because you did not think he was going to do that, and we've been right about almost everything else we've said. So I understand what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't think he'd score 19 touchdowns again, and I think he's already almost at that, which is unbelievable.
But you were right. He's not going to score 19. He's going to score 25.
He's going to break the record. I see there's no reason why I wouldn't think Robert Woods can't continue this. He's definitely a treat in my book.
Good. That's what I have him as a treat. I wish I had him on my team.
Yep. Yeah, and again, I know you got Cooper Kupp in Dynasty, and I'd be thrilled with him coming back too.
Right.
All right. Well, I'll move on to my second player here, and that is wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons, rookie. That is Calvin Ridley. Right now, he's currently ranked 22nd in the league in points per game for PPR leagues. He looks, you know, it's always tough with rookie receivers. I mean, I think if you look at last year, you got Mike Williams, Corey Davis, John Ross, all those guys picked in the top 10. You don't know that any of them are going to be anything more than a role player on their team at this point, or just decent receivers. I think you look at Calvin Ridley and say, okay, he's going to be a good NFL receiver. He's going to be a good long-term answer for them. He's got 6 touchdowns on the year, and that came in 3 straight games. He had the one huge game where he had like 130 or 40 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know, scored almost he scored 42 points that game. So it's great. Matt Ryan is on pace for 5,000 yards. They do have a lot of other options there, though. They pass the running backs out of the backfield, and then you obviously got Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, and Austin Hooper. How do you feel about Calvin Ridley moving forward?
I think for the rest of this year, I think what you're going to get is more in the range of what he's been doing recently. I think there's going to be a more concerted effort to get Julio Jones the ball. He's more reliable, obviously, because he's a seasoned veteran. As you look at Calvin Ridley's stats, he doesn't do anything against Philadelphia in his first game. He was targeted twice. Then he's still only targeted 5 times, and then 8 times and 6 times. And really the only difference is he caught 7 out of the 8 balls against New Orleans and had a monster game. Everything else outside of the touchdowns, he hasn't gotten over 70 yards. So he's becoming a tight end from statistics, is that you're getting a decent amount of targets, but he's not catching the balls for really any distance. He's under 10 yards per catch in most cases, and he only gets into the 20s if he's got a touchdown. So I'm thinking this is a trick for this season.
Yep.
And that's it, because he's an ebb and flow type of guy because he's a rookie, and maybe next year he's going to be a treat. But right now, I feel like you're going to get a lot of the 10 point average weeks, which may be good based on how you got him. But I think he's a trick.
I completely agree. And when you said you think what he's done lately is what you'll get out of him, his last 3 games at 7 points, 7 points, and 9 points.
Yeah.
Which nothing is
changed on the targets. He's getting the same amount of targets. Yeah. And it's just, he's just not getting the yards at all or the touchdowns.
Right. And that game where he blew up was New Orleans, where it was a 80 total points in that game. But, you know, he's 43rd in the league in receptions, 35th in yards, which is great. That he's still been able to be he's been efficient with those catches and yards with all the touchdowns, but you have to look at that as an outlier too. And add on that, he's only had 35 targets, which is that's in like the 60s or 70s in the league. So you can't expect him to be that efficient with the limited number of targets that he's getting. So he is not somebody that I would want to count on the rest of the year. So he is a trick for me as well.
Wow, we are on the same page.
I know. I think everyone, we've been on the same page. This is interesting.
Well, here we go. My next pick is an oldie but goodie, Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson right now is ranked 14th as far as running backs in the keeper league. And as I glance at his stats, it's very scattered. They 22 point week, an 8 point week, a 26 point week, a 6-point week. He was 3 yards away from going over 100 and being a 10-point week, and then it was 11, and then we're back at 28. So it seems as though you can't count on him, but yet when they do count on him, he has a 96, 120, 97, 99, 149. So it looks pretty consistent if you take a quick look, but I see clunker and then maybe, you know, no touchdowns. And so I'm concerned, but yet optimistic, because if I have him, there's a good chance I paid low for him to get him.
Right.
But I don't know what to do. I don't know if I have a team. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable starting him every week.
Well, I mean, I think at this point you have to. In five games, in five of his seven games, he's had over 96 yards rushing.
Right.
So I think in a standard league, he is great. PPR, you know, he had one game where he had 97 yards rushing and he had 9.7 points.
Yeah.
The next game he had 99 yards rushing and he had 11.7 points. So obviously he's not getting it done in PPR leagues. But in standard leagues, oh man, I he's been great. And you look at some of them, you know, he's got Atlanta and then Tampa Bay coming up. And that he does have a tough stretch there kind of in the middle, but, or I guess the rest of the season. But, the thing with Washington is there's just nobody else there.
Right.
You know, he's 26 carries, 19 carries, 24, 26, 17. In games where now you look at the games where he's been bad, is games that they've been blown out. It's actually their only two losses, and they were blown out in those games.
Right.
So that's another thing you got to look at is if the game script does not fit to where they're out of ahead of their other team, or they're trying to kill the clock, or they're remaining competitive, then that is a concern for him. But right now, for me, he is a treat. I wouldn't speak against anybody trying to trade him away, because you know, with the name and with those eye popping rushing numbers, maybe you can get something maybe more consistent. I do have injury concerns with him, but man, he's definitely a treat for me.
Well, yeah, the good thing is they're willing to give him the ball. They know his time's limited. They know after this year he may not be playing. So if he's willing to take the rock and run, they don't seem to care about giving it to him. Because, you know, like you said, who else is there? Chris Thompson is not healthy.
And he's not going to take away carries from
right.
Adrian Peterson.
Right. Even if they needed to, yeah, he's not that guy. So he's the other running back. I don't even know. I think Capri Bibbs filled in for him and did okay when he was,
yeah.
But still they seem comfortable giving Adrian Peterson the ball 15 to 25 times, depending upon the script. You know, I'm starting to lean towards treat, but I feel like this is going to, I think the old father time is going to, you know, catch up to him some point
yeah.
in the season and say, oh, you're done.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Over 1,000 yards, which is miraculous for a 40-year-old running back.
But you remember, you know, in Arizona, he had like two big games last year, and then it just seemed like it took him 3 weeks to recover from that.
Right.
That obviously hasn't been the case this year, but man, we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
All right. My next one is running back for the Indianapolis Colts. This player is obviously a lot tougher to talk about because he's only played four games, and that's Marlon Mack. He is where do you think he's ranked right now in points per game?
Oh, he's got to be
PPR leagues.
Points per game?
Yeah.
Oh, he could be top seven.
Close. He's tied at number eight right now with Christian McCaffrey. So he is averaging 18.9 points per game. His games have basically gone like this: 4 points, 10 points, 34, and 31. Really, since returning from the injury, that's his last three games, 10, 34, 31. He's looked fantastic. Even the game where he only had, 10 points, he had 12 carries for 89 yards. And then the last two games, he's had 19 for 126 and then 25 for 132. So he's been just crushing it in the rushing game. as weird as it is, though, I mean, he's like an Adrian Peterson. You think Marlon Mack, you kind of think, quick guy who can catch it out of the backfield, and he's a PPR stud, and that's not been the case. He's been Adrian Peterson to where he's getting, maybe 1-2 targets a game, and that's about it. He also, like Adrian Peterson, has that pass catching back there. They have Nyheim Hines, and so if they're getting beat like they were against the Jets, and even though he was efficient in the rushing game, they went to Nyheim Hines when they were trying to play catch up mode late in the game. So that he is not game script proof. He does have a tough remaining schedule. He's got a great Week 12 matchup against the Dolphins, and then in the championship game, Week 16, he plays against the Giants, and that's great. Other than that, I think he's got Jacksonville twice, still has Tennessee and some other tough teams. So, he's a tough one. But what do you think of Marlon Mack?
I think maybe the actual points will come down a little bit, but I'm thinking this is a treat. I think you can almost count on him to be in the 15 point range each week, because if he's healthy, they need all the help they can get for Andrew Luck, and if he can just hand it off and take some pressure off him, then that's fantastic. I think they're gonna attempt to do that each and every game, so that way there's a balance. So I think this is a treat, and I would like to have Marlon Mack.
Okay, so I have him as a trick, but I guess this is all perspective here.
Mm-hmm.
I guess different way of looking at it. So you said you expect him to be about 15 points a game, or hovering right around there.
Right.
In a PPR league, that's probably where I put him too, which is a very good player to have, I think, a running back number two or a flex player.
Right.
I have him as a trick, and only to say,
he's not a 30 point per game guy.
Well, he's not a running back number one.
Right.
I guess
you could say it's a trick on that, because he's not a running
right.
back. But I think he is a positive sign for them to be able to use a balanced running attack going forward, and not have to manufacture anything with Andrew Luck's legs.
Yeah, so again,
I still want him on my team.
Yeah, so again, just to reiterate, running back number two or a flex, great. But let's say you have Marlon Mack, and you have, I'm trying to think of who would be a good example here of another two other solid running backs. I would not trade away one of those running backs to get a receiver, because you're so confident that Marlon Mack is a true number one. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade away, Mark Ingram
somebody
like that.
You would rely on him to be your best running back.
Right. And again, with his injury history,
I never would have done that in the beginning anyways. So
right.
If I would have had him on my team, it'd have been because he was my second or third running back. And I would have thought now this is fantastic.
Right. So
we agree.
All right.
We disagree.
What's that?
We agree, but we disagree.
That's right. Okay. So last one here, Kirk, who do you have?
I went with the tight end. I have Eric Ebron.
Ooh.
He is third for tight ends in points. Now granted, he's 20 some points behind Zach Ertz, and even 15 points behind Travis Kelce. But as far as the rest of the pack, he is the clear cut number three. He has 36 receptions, almost 400 yards, and he may be a league leading 7 touchdowns as far as receiving. Is that,
yeah,
that is accurate? Yeah.
Yep.
So with Jack Doyle coming back, is this going to be, can he duplicate this performance in the second half of the season with even just, similar type numbers, which isn't great, but is he going to be a, 70 catch tight end with 800 yards and 14 touchdowns?
No.
Okay.
No, and you know, it was great, you know, especially when Jack Doyle was first out there. I mean, you look at weeks 3, 4, and 5 for Ebron. He had 11, 10, and 15 targets.
Mm-hmm.
But you, Jack Doyle first came back last week. Eric Ebron's snap percentage was 22%. You know, his targets went down to 3.
Right.
His saving grace has been the touchdowns. I mean, he's been unbelievable in the red zone. And that's where he will still be. I think he's going to be a trick, because I actually think Jack Doyle, when you look at targets and receptions and yards, Jack Doyle is going to take over from here. Ebron will be strictly touchdown dependent, to where he wasn't. I mean, he had some decent reception and yardage games other than, you know, touchdowns, but I don't think you have that anymore. Like, you look at his last game where he's 3 for 37 in touchdown. That's what you can expect for him.
Well, here's a great example of two tight ends, and which one would you go with? Would you feel comfortable starting the rest of the season?
Okay.
Eric Ebron or O.J. Howard?
Oh, O.J. Howard, without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, so in my Dynasty League, I have Eric Ebron and Evan Engram. You know, I don't think that's as easy, but I'm probably going to roll with Engram more often than not now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's tough. But the thing is, if Ebron is your only tight end, you're okay rolling him out there, because the tight end landscape has been so bad this year.
Yes.
You know, you look at Jared Cook, who is the number 6 tight end right now. He had 2 catches for 20 yards tonight. Trey Burton, who's number 7 tight end, he's only number 7 because he had a 30-point week. Other than that, he's been up and down. Actually, O.J. Howard's been very consistent, double digits every week. He's been great. Right.
He's not
Austin Hooper up and down.
Targeted 1 week, and then I mean, he gets just about the same amount of action, a little increases here and there, but you know, he's the guy that makes the most of everything.
I mean, if Eric Ebron is giving you 3 catches for 40 yards, you'll take that, because there's a greater possibility of him scoring a touchdown
right
than Vance McDonald or Greg Olsen.
And I probably should have said Jared Cook. Is he a trick or treat? Because, I mean, he has for 3 games, he has, was it 64 plus 17 is what?
81.
81 points in 3 games. The rest of them, I mean, he's got 4, 3, 6, 8. Nine. I mean, right. He is an average tight end at that point. It may be less than that.
But that's – I would gladly take him, because what is the alternative? What's the alternative? So, Kyle Rudolph. You know, like I said, Kyle Rudolph will get you 9 points every game. Or would you rather get the 6 from Jared Cook with the possibility that he could score 2 touchdowns?
Right, right.
And that's the low point, is the 6.
Yeah.
Same thing with Eric Ebron. You know, much higher upside than many of the other tight ends.
Yeah. So, if there's a dollar amount assigned to these players, then maybe that's where you're gonna, you know, maybe pick a little differently. But if you have them on your team, yeah, just start them, and hopefully they just blow up.
Yep. All right. Well, great. Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Well, now can we make fun of other players, other teams?
So this is, I think, a good opportunity to talk about some do's and don'ts in your league, because we've seen a lot of don'ts.
Right.
And what's that?
Don'ts doing don'ts.
Yes. All right. So which one do you want to talk about first? First of all, here's one thing I like to talk about is it's very important that after Wednesday morning, after somebody picks up, or, you know, after you pick up your waivers, you need to scour the waiver wire to see who was dropped.
Right.
Perfect example was, you know, this past week in our auction league. we had to drop Austin Eckler because him both we had both him and Melvin Gordon, both of which were on a bye, and we have a locked roster, so we needed another running back to start because Sony Michel is also hurt. And somebody went to and somebody picked up Austin Eckler and dropped Aaron Jones, and it happened outside the waiver wire period. I don't think anybody else saw it, so we went after him, and now we have a starting running back on our team.
Right.
In the Dynasty League, somebody dropped Dante Pettis, and I picked him up today as a free agent. That's not a huge move, but I like to think, you know, when there's 200 players who are who are on rosters in that league, that a guy, a receiver, is drafted in the second round on a team that's weak at receiver moving forward. I like to think that he's a little bit better on my roster. So stuff like that, pay attention.
Do you know anybody who or any position that you would want, like, let's just say a quarterback that's on his roster, that's the third quarterback, sometimes gets on the field in other positions. Do you know anybody like that you'd be targeting and spending money on? Can you think of anyone?
Yeah, Terrell Pryor.
Okay, Terrell Pryor. Great.
Other than him?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, Mitchell Schwartz.
Cordell Stewart.
They picked up Terrell Pryor and dropped Jerron Brown, which I thought was a pretty good move.
Yeah. Is that not who you're talking about?
No.
Okay, so a third string quarterback.
A white one.
Okay, so what Kirk's referring to is in our Dynasty League, had a team.
Funny first name.
What's that?
Who has a funny first name.
Yeah. Matt and Mike. I won't use their last name, but Schwartz and Heaton picked up Taysom Hill for $17.
Right.
With their free agent acquisition budget that we start the year with $100. They spent $17 on Taysom Hill, and they have Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson as their quarterbacks right now. So my question to them would be, when would you ever play Taysom Hill? So here's the thing with fantasy football, especially in leagues to where there's a snake draft, just the odds of it and how the rankings are and how you see the players when you pick. Bad teams are bound to have good years just based off the draft. But it's moves like this to where they can really show their ass and show that they don't know what they're doing.
Well, here's because
that is nonsensical.
Get on him. He had a career day this past week. He completed his only pass attempt for 44 yards, which is a career long. That's almost half the field.
That is very good. That is very good. How many points did he have that game?
That game kind of an average game. He had 3.06. I think it broke down to, I mean, he did have two kickoff returns for 50 yards, so that's kind of good.
I like this where it says
those don't count for points.
The notes for him, a lot of times you see like career long or career passing day. For him, it's just career long pass completion.
Right. He was one that's for great. One.
It's fantastic. Very efficient.
He had a big game in week five to where he had 23 yards rushing and a rushing touchdown. Now, that's pretty good for a quarterback.
Yeah, you can count on that every week. So,
correct.
If he starts, you know, putting back to back games with a rushing touchdown, are they going to start him over Deshaun Watson? No, Mr. Trubisky.
Right.
So again. It's a nonsensical move.
Keep in mind, if Drew Brees, his head gets decapitated from his body, the next person that would play would be
Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
Yeah.
So and
if that were to happen to Teddy Bridgewater, then they would re-sign or sign someone off the street.
Right, right. And then and still continue to put Taysom Hill out there in running formations and,
yep.
you know, out there split out wide. So his would not change at all.
But I guess if you were waiting for these fantasy football formats to make him a quarterback slash running back slash receiver, then you could put those 3 points in your lineup, no problem.
Right. Well, here's the other thing. I mean, this is the analysis. The third string quarterback played 18 offensive snaps. That's a lot of offensive snaps.
Yeah. What does
a typical quarterback play? All of the snaps?
Well, if it was somebody who played all of the snaps, you'd obviously pay at least $18
right.
in the free agent budget for them.
Yeah.
They didn't pay that. They only paid $17.
I mean, so.
I love it that they're just going to have to keep him on their roster now for a while just because.
To show you?
Yes. Idiots.
Well, they have two quarterbacks or two players that could play quarterback for their respective teams.
Yeah. How are they going to feel, you know, especially seeing how Buffalo used the Wildcat a lot last weekend. Now that Nathan Peterman's there, they're going to use it even more this weekend. How are they going to feel when Terrell Pryor has more snaps at quarterback than Taysom Hill? Oh, my goodness. That's great. Or
try to trade.
Right. And you know, they'll beat Sheridan this week because Sheridan has Marlon Mack, Joe Mixon, Le'Veon Bell, T.Y. Hilton, all of his best players out. And then they'll be like, see, we obviously know what we're doing.
They off to a great start because they know what they're doing. Yeah, George Kittle had a 23. He had a great night tonight. So they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Calvin Ridley, they think, is a stud receiver because he had that 3-touchdown game. They'll be chasing those points all year long. So it's great. I love it.
Good for them.
Yep. So, and the other thing is they have Golden Tate, who you'll like this quote, who obviously Golden Tate, who is getting 20% of the snaps in Detroit. So him going to another team is obviously going to be bad for him because he's not going to be getting anywhere near that amount of snaps from Carson Wentz, especially with Zach Ertz there and Alshon Jeffrey. But let me see if I can find this quote. Okay.
They're saying he played only 25% of the snaps?
No. Golden Tate was getting 27% of the targets.
From
Matthew Stafford. So, yep. But, yeah. After Golden Tate was traded, the quote was, Galladay is now screwed. Galladay's on my team. So I'm not sure how.
So when they take somebody who takes a quarter of the targets away, that Galladay is screwed, meaning that he's going to have to – the ball's going to come his way more. So he's going to
– who knows?
Not going to like it.
Yeah.
I don't want to increase my workload.
Did I shave my legs for this?
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right. Well, I think we're getting a little long-winded here, but we'll see who's in our crosshairs next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. Be great. A little short. Buggles of steel. Good luck.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, you got anything else?
No, that's it.
Hey, that's all for the Fancy Boys. We're signing off.
And fading out. Go Browns!
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.